Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A Republican candidate for Secretary of Agriculture was in Marion County recently. Let's go in-depth with Craig Lang, dairy, beef, and row crop farmer from Brooklyn, Iowa. Craig, can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
I sure can. I've had experience in policy development in agriculture. I was 5 years a vice president, 10 years president of the Iowa Farm Bureau. I also spent 6 years on the Iowa Board of Regents that oversaw the K through 12 schools, both for the impaired seeing and hearing, and also the three public universities and the university hospitals. But more than that, I'm proud of being an active farmer since 1976. I have two sons that are managing our dairy and our calf operation, row crop operation, along with my 92-year-old father and my brother. And I've had quite a little experience in agriculture in general. So those are some of the highlights that are important. But one other one that I'm proud of is that our dairy is on the farm that my great-great-grandfather came over in 1859, purchased, and then in 1860 brought his gold with him and really purchased the farm. So that's part of our farming operation. That heritage is so important.
I understand you have the background to run for Secretary of Agriculture,
right.
But why do it?
Well, I am 66. I'm proud of my age. I'd love to just spend time with grandkids, but I have this burning desire to see Iowa agriculture move to a prosperous position a position for the next generation. I'd like to see my grandson or granddaughter have the opportunity to be the seventh generation on our farm. And I think a lot of things are going on in agriculture today that we need to be aware of. I am campaigning on soil health, water quality, and economic jobs. Creating a healthy soil in Iowa creates wealth. It also retains nutrients, which gets a long ways towards the nutrient load in our waters and cleaning our water. I think that's important to build healthy soils. I think it's also important to build healthy rivers. In that way, we can have tourism, recreation on our rivers, make that a destination. I think that's important to look at. I think all of our waters is everybody's business, and I think farmers ought to lead the discussion on how to clean the water instead of being defensive and trying to hold off the force of people are asking why. So I can't do that sitting home in my easy chair and mowing hay now and then and helping the boys with the cows. So I'm stepping up and trying to provide the right kind of leadership so we have a prosperous and a vibrant agriculture scene across the whole state 20 and 30 years from now.
And you and I have been around long enough to know when we were kids, we played in the creeks.
Right.
Now people can't let their kids get in them.
Right. And a lot of that's fear. A lot of that is fear. There are really good watershed projects going on where the farmers have all come together and the mussels have come back into the river. It's kind of like the canary in the coal mine. And they have proven from a watershed approach that they can do this. One of the other issues that we're dealing with today is absentee ownership of land. It wasn't like that when you and I were kids. There was absentee ownership, but the person lived on the farm or the one next to it, or maybe they just moved to the town next door. But now we have ownership on either coast or Des Moines or Cedar Rapids as an investment. They want all the money they can mine out of the soil. So it's going to be a huge learning curve for us to practice cover crops, more diverse agriculture, so we can build soil health. And I put a target out there of 5 million acres of cover crops in 5 years. That's a huge jump from 600,000 acres today. And I've also said in order to make soil healthy, we need to look at doubling the bovine industry. And, you know, that's the animal with four legs and four compartments to their stomach and their dairy and their cattle industry. The cattle industry adds the most opportunity for dollars spent locally of anything that we're doing today. So I'm looking at ways in which the dollars spent locally and it supports a local economy.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Craig Lang, Republican candidate for Secretary of Agriculture.
How can doubling the cattle herd help water quality? And it doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
So tell us how it does to you.
Well, first of all, you have to have an active biology of the soil. And I could get into the fungi and I could get into the Bactrim to make that work. But the truth is the utilization of sunlight through photosynthesis captures the carbon and provides sugar for those two symbiotic relationships to work with the plant. But the only way that the Bactrim, which is very important harvesting the minerals, works is with animal manure. And that animal manure has bacteria. Both the urine and the manure have bacteria, which feeds the Bactrim. Commercial fertilizer does not. Commercial fertilizer does not create healthy soils, period. So you have to have that life cycle of animals, creating healthy soils, diversity of growing plants year-round. I tell people we have solar panels. They're popular everywhere now. It's even been part of our foreign trade discussion. But you don't buy a solar panel and then throw a blanket over it eight months out of the year. And that's what we're doing with the sunlight for our growing crops, because basically 7 or 8 months out of the year, there's nothing living growing on that soil, capturing the carbon, converting it to sugar. And soil is the best source of sequestrating or banking carbon of anything in the world. It's also one of the largest source of water retention in the world. And if you have healthy soils, you have organic matter. You can't create organic matter without animal manure. You have stability of aggregate, and you have water infiltration. You put those three things together and you can say that your soil is healthy. So when we get a 3 or 4 inch rain, the ground absorbs it all. Now, if you have bare ground on top, you get 2 inch rain and 1 inch runs off. So there's a lot of education. I was in Kelowna today speaking with three cover crop farmers talking about the diversity, what we need to do, and all practices are good. But they said, you know, that's going to take care of a lot of the flooding issues that we look at. The flash water, 4 and 5 inches of rain, if 3/4 of that soaks in, then you have less pressure on the river. So it's a huge educational process.
Okay, so educate me. So you're saying spread the manure on the fields?
Or graze it. You can spread it on the field. The best way with a green growing crop, like we spread our dairy manure on an active growing alfalfa field during the summer. We basically sacrifice 15 to 20 acres of alfalfa. And that is good because there's a green matter there, and the Zotobacterium needs a green matter. Because as soon as that green matter is gone and that Bactrim goes to the surface, ultraviolet lights kills it. So you need a green matter to feed that. Spread it on the field or graze it. Rotational grazing is probably the best, and it's the best example of the 70 million head of buffalo we had in 1800 in this country. That flash graze moved all the way to Kentucky, all the way back, and provided us with this rich soil that we have in the Midwest.
Okay, so now by extension, are you saying that for corn and beans with the cover crops, that's where the manure goes on?
Yes, it would. It would. And whether it's even if you inject it, it's better to have an active growing cover crop over that during the winter, because the roots capture the nutrients and don't allow the nutrients to leach out through the soil or through evaporation into the atmosphere. So earthen basins, lagoons, the things that they're using today in modern technology, it's really best to have an active growing cover crop over the top. So if you don't apply manure in that fashion, it's really good to think about putting a cover crop in corn in August, or going immediately out in the field after combining and spreading the cover crop so it has the ability to grow.
I can drive for miles and see fields without cover crops.
Absolutely.
How are you going to convince farmers of the need for cover crops and the justification of the expense?
One county at a time. One, a well-respected farmer in the area that practices cover crops and utilizes it. Neighbors see it very quickly, understand that they can actually net more income per acre because they use less pesticides, less herbicides. You don't have the insect problem, and especially if you have a rotation of another crop in there, like a small grain, you don't have that buildup of problems in the soil. And so one farmer at a time. And our hope is that first year we can hit right out. We can go to private foundations, seek grants in which we can work with a number of farmers across the state, have them in a program for 3 to 5 years, and then the neighbor sees what's actually happening there and starts to buy in, because the money's not available on a federal or state level.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Craig Lang, Republican candidate for Secretary of Agriculture.
If it works, it should be something that the farmer should pay for, mm-hmm. right? If productivity, the farmer's going to want to buy it if yields
Absolutely.
Increase, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it doesn't necessarily mean you get higher yields. It means that you return more dollars per acre. It may mean that you'll have 180 bushel an acre instead of 200 bushel an acre, but you have $50 less inputs because it's healthier soil. The soil is actually harvesting the potash and the phosphorus from the soil, and even some nitrogen. There are great cover crops like, soybeans is a nitrogen inoculating crop. There are others that you can plant right in the standing rows of corn that actually inoculate nitrogen from the air and make it available for the crop the next year. Hairy vetch is one of those. That's the one I was trying to think of. And it's absolutely great forage for beef cows or growing dairy heifers because it grows, it has a lot of tonnage along with rye grain, which will virtually grow in all areas of the state. You can actually pasture your cows through the winter on it with some additional supplemental hay.
Now, there's some big chemical interests that aren't liking what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm sure. I think what farmers need to do is start taking marching orders from their neighboring farmer of what works best for them. What we've seen from the chemical companies, and I'm not going to disparage anything that's going on. Monsanto has spent more money in Iowa than most countries around the world. It employs a lot of people. Syngenta does the same, employs a lot of people. But I think they would like the ideal of soil science and healthy soils, because then they can through genetic breeding, they can provide us hybrids that grow better in healthy soils and quit focusing on the chemicals that we're spreading over the top. I know that I'm going to run into some competition along the way, but my advisory committee behind me fully believes in the direction we need to go, and leadership needs to lead Iowa to a position where we don't have less bushels of soybeans and corn grown, but we may have less acres that create that. And if we could get back to 2 million acres of oats in Iowa, small grain, along with probably 500,000 acres of cover crop seed, there's another alternative to grow on your farm. But we're not getting our 42 pounds per bushel of oats that Quaker Oats wants in Cedar Rapids, so they're getting it out of Canada or the North Plains somewhere. Iowa ought to be growing that. And when I was a kid, we grew 42 pound oats all the time. And I think it's because we actively had a rotation of alfalfa, meadow, corns, and we didn't even have soybeans until the early 70s. But I believe that the soil's not healthy enough to give us the test weight we want.
Now, real quickly, for a lot of people, your experience as head of the Farm Bureau is going to be a real asset. Mm-hmm. To other people, it's not.
Right.
And that there's, you know, various environmental interests that, yep. that see the Farm Bureau as the enemy. How do you bridge that, those different groups?
So they know me. I have met with the Practical Farmers of Iowa, and one of my steering team members is president of the Practical Farmers of Iowa. I've met with them, I've talked with them, I've followed them for 10 years. They have worked with small farms, farm-to-market opportunities for farmers. They've done on-farm research. it is very important that we continue to have that kind of support. I've met with the Iowa Environmental Council people. They like what I'm talking about, and they're going away shaking their head thinking, well, this is a Farm Bureau guy. He's talking this way. I believe in Farm Bureau. I believe in the way that we develop policy. But I also know that I don't have to follow their policy anymore because I'm a Farm Bureau past president. So I am going to talk about what I think is important for the state. And here's the other side of it. We know across the country or across the world that 15% of the growers of a product are going to provide 80% of the food and fiber. My concern is with those 85% that aren't part of that 15%, that are adding value to the local communities, growing their communities, taking their kids to church and school, being part of the town community, town council, all of those things. There was an article in the paper yesterday about New Hartford, I believe, yeah, by Eldora, a small town of 200 or 300 people where 5 or 6 young people went in, they purchased a business, and they're making it go because they want to be part of our small communities. What's important in doing that is that we have access to fast broadband internet connection because we can create markets from the home to world markets. Even the farmers, the largest of farmers that farm 5 and 10,000 acres actually need that too for their global positioning, but we need it too so we can create a market for those things that we're growing locally. And I want to be in a place of the Department of Agriculture where it goes together with the Department of Iowa Economic Development Authority, and we co-sponsor bills that targets that kind of business and says that you don't need the $10 million that we gave to Wells Fargo, but you may need $50,000 or you may need $100,000, where $50,000 is forgivable if you create the kind of jobs and activity that you want. And I believe in the idea of tax abatements. For instance, I believe from a local level that county property taxes can be reduced on a young family that wants to refurbish a cattle yard with a barn that no longer sits there and adds any property tax value, but all at once they've got 10 or 15 or 20 beef cows that actually create a value because they buy stuff at the hardware store and the lumber yard. And by the way, once in a while they eat lunch in town. We carried a lunch bucket with us all the time. And even while I was little, we shared a bottle of Pepsi, but we don't do that anymore. So I really think that there's an opportunity, but we need to focus on that particular family. And I think if we do, combine with the Iowa legislature, with the Department of Agriculture and the Iowa Economic Development Authority, we can really make a change. It won't happen overnight. It might not happen in 5 years, but I would be very, very sad if we had made significant improvement within 5 years, and we ought to be able to document it within 5.
Thanks to Craig Lang for contributing to the program.
For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.